Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 12. Just an idea as we've been going through and studying through this great Sermon on the Mount, the standards of the Master, and how even our memory verse for this month is going to be summed up here in the verses that we're looking at today. Last Sunday we were talking about not being judgmental, how we so many times we could be critical, we can easy for us to point fingers at somebody else, and was talking about the speck in our brother's eye, and we had the huge log in ours, and then we get to this Sunday in logical order and talking about the golden rule, what we call the golden rule, doing to others as we've had them do unto us, and this idea of how do we live these things out, how is it that we can treat people the way that God has called us to treat them. And I've noticed, and I was talking about in our new members class, we had a great new members class this morning, and thank all those that came out, and talking about how the balance, how if we're not careful, you ever notice that we, what we believe in Scripture, sometimes we go from one extreme to the other, and we'll go to here, there, and we're talking about being judgmental, and how even unbelievers use that. Don't judge me. How many people have you heard say that when you're talking just about biblical things? Don't judge me, and how the extreme, we could take Scripture one extreme, and then the other extreme would be that we don't call sin sin, or we don't call out, we don't keep the things of God pure, and how we don't have these balances many times if we're not careful. If you remember that old V8 commercial, I like V8. Anybody else like V8? Yeah, that's right. Remember that old V8 case? Not the one, boop, should have had a V8 now, but the one that people be leaning. Remember they'd be leaning. What's wrong? Should have had a V8. Like that's going to straighten everything out, right? It ain't straightened me out yet, has it, honey? I drink it all the time. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate that. But just that whole idea, Francis Schaeffer made this comment. He said, the hardest thing for men to maintain since the fall is balance. It's a great statement. It's balance. And so I want us to think about the Scriptures, how we, you know, we can. Another example of that would be that God is love, and we've heard that. God is love, and actually what the world means is that love is God. You think about it. Love reigns supreme, and so under that umbrella, you can do anything. It doesn't matter if it lines up with God's Word or not. Love is God. And so we see that balance, and so as we get to Scripture today, the best balance of Scripture is the whole Scripture, okay? And I want us to know that let Scripture interpret Scripture. Don't let man, but let Scripture do that and play out. And so the only way that we can approach the Sermon on the Mount, if we've seen these standards of the Masters, how that we can live up to this is to understand that we're totally morally bankrupt, that we need God. We need Him desperately. And I'm going to tell you, when we get to these Scriptures today, and we'll look at it, Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at that before we go any further, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, and let's stand to honor God's Word. Living out the golden rule is the title. Matthew 7, starting at verse 7 through 12. And it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll be glorified today. I pray that your word will go forth, touches right where we're at. Help us to see the word of God for what it's meant to say. And God, help us to live it out for your glory in Christ's name. All God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So this idea, this relationship, if we're not careful, today's verses, we've all heard that asking and seeking and knocking and this living out the golden rule. If we're not careful, we treat God like a celestial slot machine. You say, what do you mean? You just keep pulling the handle. Keep asking, seeking, knocking, keep pulling that handle where everything lines up, and then what? Jackpot! We get what we want. That's not what these verses are saying. We've probably taken this verse more out of context than any other thing. And I want us to see that text without context is pretext. We never take Scripture out and use them just as, oh, let's take it right out of its context and this is what it says. But we look at what it's saying and where we're at in this sermon
And think about last week when it was talking about that speck in our brother's eye and this huge beam in our, and how can we not be judgmental? And how is it that we can have the balance that we can see sin and call sin for what it is and yet not be this judgmental? How do we do these things? Ask, seek, knock. How can we live the golden rule? How is it that we can treat people like we want to be treated? And listen, it's never that we treat to get, give to get. That's not what that scripture's talking about, by the way. And if that's the only way we live, we're missing the whole concept of what it's talking about. But it's how can we treat people the way that God's calling? I'm going to tell you this whole idea of this ask, seek, and knock, this whole idea of the name it, claim it group. Just name it, claim it, it's yours. Blab it, grab it. It's just this whole idea that all you got to do is just, you have this faith. If you have this faith, how many people do you see that? I get so sick of that sometimes. If you've got that much faith and you can heal people, why aren't you in the hospitals where these little kids are laying around bald-headed and dying of all these different cancers? If you're full of these things and God's Word is, I'm telling you, we see these things today and this whole group is messing up the whole idea of what God's Word says. Thus says the Word of God. It's a dependence on Him. Constantly bombarded with these ideas of how to shortcut God's standards. I want us to think, how do we live out these principles? How do we understand this sermon? Ask, seek, and knock. It's not applied to material possessions, okay? It's not about your wanter. I want this. I'll say, it's not about reading through the catalog, right? Sportsman's Guide, got some good deals. Cabela's. Bass Pro Shop. Not tell honey, I need this. I said, I don't think you need that. You want that. I'm serious. That's what the problem is. Our wanter and our needer get switched up, don't it? Well, I need that. What do you need that for? Go in your closet. You've got a whole closet full of it. We don't do God like a catalog. You see, we don't pick out, okay, Lord, I need this. I want this. And we just keep asking, keep knocking. Keep seeking. That's not what he's talking about. Within this text, he's talking about how to live out these principles, these hard principles, these things that he's told us to do, how not to be judgmental and critical, and yet to keep God's Word in line and keep our lives in purity to him. How is it that we treat people the way that God's called us to do that? It's through prayer, praying in our spiritual lives. That's how we live out the golden rule. We ask, we seek, and we knock. And so this morning, let's look at the attitudes of how we should pray. The attitudes we should pray with. And the first is persistently. Look at verses 7 and 8. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Verbs on top of verbs right here. Look. Verbs ask, seek, knock. And the progression of that asking and that participation. And then we begin this effort of seeking. And then the idea of this persistence of knocking. I love what Spurgeon said. It says, when we receive a gift, it's simple. But to find a treasure is more enriching. But to enter into the palace is best of all. I like this idea of this progression. And each one of these are active imperatives. And they're present tense. And you know what it says? Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Being persistent in our prayer life. And what is it that we're praying for? Jesus is telling us to pray intently. How can we not be judgmental? That's coming from the context of what last week's verses. How is it that we can live the golden rule? Pray! Pray. If there's never been a time that the church needs to pray, it's now. 2016, we need to be praying people. What is it that we're praying for? We're praying for these spiritual things and the needs, our own needs and the needs of others. We're asking God. We're not using the prayer like a catalog, but we're passionately and persistently that we're praying for these elements of spiritual growth in our life. I was talking about last week, you know what our problem is? We think we're okay. We think that we're all right. If we have not grown in Christ, if you're one of those people that are saying, you know, I'm all right, if you've not grown in Christ in 2016, yes, on this 10th day, then you know what you're saying? I'm okay. That's the highest form of self-righteousness that there is. For you to think that you're all right and you're not asking God for these spiritual things to happen in your life, that's self-righteousness is all it is. And I wonder how many people are just happy with just the way that they are. And they think because, I don't know what you want to put in there, they'll think because of sacrifice or whatever that we've given to God, that, oh, God owes us. God don't owe us nothing. Nothing. We owe Him everything. And what does He want? He wants us. He wants us to grow in this relationship with Him. It's not about what we have or what we've given up. It's about Christ and what He's given up for each and every one of us. So we keep this asking, seeking, and knocking. It's that persistence that He wants us to be like. And you know what He's wanting us to be? And as we study out this sermon, it drives us to throw up our hands. It's like every week we read this Sermon on the Mount, and constantly it's like, what in the world? And you know what? We throw our hands up. That's exactly where we're at. That's what He's wanting. He's wanting us to see that in and of ourselves, we cannot live out these divine principles that He's called us to live. It's only through His Spirit. It's only through His living like Christ-like in Him that we can fulfill these things that He's called us. This is impossible to live without Him. If you don't have Christ this morning, you cannot live out these standards. And for those that have Christ, we have to constantly be asking. We have to constantly be seeking. We have to constantly be knocking to be more Christ-like, to grow in grace and knowledge of Him. We must pray. Oh, let me tell you what. You let one of your kids get sick. Oh, yeah, come on. Or you have a loved one that gets a bad report. You'll pray, and you want everybody to pray. But what about persistence in our prayer to grow spiritually in the Lord? How intensely do we pray about that? When it's the most important thing in our walk with Him that we should be praying for. God, help us. God, help us to grow in grace and knowledge of You. Lord, help me not to react in that way when that person rubs me the wrong way. Help me just to show them love when I want to give them one of these. That's right. Lord, how do I keep from reacting as the world says for me to react when I need to react like Christ? How did Christ react? He gave it all. And I'm not very given when it comes to certain things and certain people. Christ told us to give. We persistently to pray for spiritual growth for ourselves and others, asking Him, how is it that we can keep from having a critical spirit? And how is it we can keep our minds pure? How is it that we can have a forgiving spirit? Ask, seek. What would it be like for Christians to begin praying in this way? What would it look like? What would the churches look like? You want to be the Christian that Christ wants you to be? Ask, seek, and knock. We're supposed to persevere. You know what? We're supposed to persevere in asking for the greatest treasure of all. And what's that? Christ and Christ-likeness. How persistently and intensely do we pray for that? How much? Why does He want us to ask and seek and knock so intensely and so persistently? You know what? Because that's the only way we can be prepared to receive it. We live in a microwave generation, okay? We want to nuke it, man. We want to do it fast. We want everything fast. We don't want to pay the price for anything. It doesn't work with that, with the word, with the things of God. We have to persistently ask. We have to grow in Him daily. We have to constantly, we don't reach this plateau and feel like, you know, everything's all right. I don't have to keep asking. I don't have to keep knocking. I don't have to keep seeking. Why? I've reached this level. I'm just going to hover here for a little while and everything's good with me. You see, that's what we want to do. And that, by nature, by human nature, that's how we're made up. We want to do that. We want to reach these levels and we want to stop. We want to reach these goals. We set these goals and we should set goals. But the next goal, it should be just a stair step for the next goal of growing in Him, being more Christ-like. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but I fail desperately in my Christ-likeness. I fail desperately in my relationships. I fail desperately in my thought process. I fail desperately in my motives to where I need to be crying out, God, help me, Lord. Help me be more like Christ. These are not blank check verses, okay? These are not blank check verses to be taken out of context. It's not to be asked for just anything. It's our spiritual growth in Him. That's why He's asking. Well, not only are we have the attitude of praying persistently, but also praying confidently. Look at verses 9 through 11. He says, or what man, if there among you, who he has a son, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You know what his illustration is? Fathers. Earthly fathers. And he talks about the stone and for a loaf of bread. And apparently there were certain stones in Palestine and Judea that looked like bread, because even the devil used that in Jesus' temptation when he was fasting. Remember, he said, look at that stone, man. You can turn that into bread. And so there must have been stones. So how many fathers would say, your son comes up and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Here, son, have a loaf of bread. And it's a stone. I mean, we wouldn't do that. Or a fish, and a really serpent, a fish or an eel, whichever. The meat is very, very similar to fish if you've ever eaten it. It looks the same. And so, but a serpent was unclean. A fish wasn't. How many of you come up and say, here, have some snake. Have some rattlesnake, son. You wouldn't tell him that. You say, here's some fish. Try to trick him. We don't do that, do we, as parents? And he's saying, he's giving that illustration, and it's absurd. None of us would do that, loving fathers. And so it's absurd. If our children need something to eat, we'd give it to them, not a stone or a serpent. We don't trick our children with deceptive substitutions. We give them, if we can, and it's in their best interest, we give that to them. How much more, he says, confidently, can you ask your Heavenly Father? How much more confidence if we're able to do that? Listen. If we're able to do that, how much more confidence can we have in Christ? And in Luke chapter 11, 13, which is a sister verse of this, look what it says. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the what? Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. You see, we're getting somewhere in Luke's gospel. It's not just giving these things that we need, but the Holy Spirit is what we need the worst, the most. We need that Spirit-led life. And he's saying that when you ask God, He'll give that to you. Get a hold of that today. He'll give that. That's a promise that you can bank on. As an earthly father, I made mistakes. Hey, some I wish I could go back and fix, but I can't. But God's perfect. He doesn't make any mistakes. He's perfect. And how much more is what the Scripture says. How much more? God, if we can trust our Father, earthly Father, how much can we trust our Heavenly Father to meet these needs to us? This is what we have, and we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, but we also, what we need, more of that Holy Spirit to work through us, the Spirit of God living through us, this Christ-likeness that He's wanting us to desire and live by and treat others with. He's saying, you ask and you'll receive. You seek and you'll find that. You knock and that door is going to be open to you. I'm going to tell you, that's for everybody. Listen to me. If you're an unbeliever this morning, if you've never received Christ, He said, if you ask me for these things, if you ask, you know what? I've never received Jesus. This is something I've kind of put off. That's something that you do older. You got to live and sow your wild oats or whatever, the life from hell that Satan's giving you that you're buying into. And you say, well, I'll do that one of these days. Listen, he said, if you'll ask, if you realize you're lost, you ask. If you'll seek me, you'll knock, the door will be open, and you can have Christ this morning, January 10th, 2016. This morning, the door will be open to you. You can receive Jesus. Don't put it off. I promise you, there's nothing in this world that it can give you that will satisfy you like Christ. I've tried it. I'm not one of those guys. I've tried it all. It's nothing can bring you the satisfaction that Jesus Christ as your Savior can bring you. Will you be perfect? No. Look at me. Yeah, thank you, Lee. That's the truth. None of us are perfect. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about a perfect Savior. That when that blood is applied to your account, you know what? I stand before God uncondemned in Christ. Woo! Possessionally in Christ. Gosh, how could you pass that up this morning for the things of the world? There's nothing out there that compares to that. Unbeliever, all you have to do is ask, seek, knock. How about the believer? The things that we struggle with. You struggle with lying? You struggle with lust? You struggle with a critical spirit. You struggle with stinginess. These things that don't line up with God. Ask. Seek. Knock. He's talking about these are promises. This is not a blank check. I need this. I need that. You need Christ. We all do, sitting here this morning. And standing here this morning. We need to be more Christ-like in 2016. We desperately need a touch of God in our lives. What would it be like at this verse if we prayed that way just in this church? You couldn't hold the people. Why? Because they would be coming out to see something only God can do in people's lives. They would be drawn to something that's so much more than what we've made it into. It would be real and alive, and love would ooze out of this building, out in the parking lots, out in our communities. That would Christ-likeness would draw people. In fact, Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto me. What? If I'm lifted up. And when we're more Christ-like, when we grow in this grace and knowledge of Him, it draws people. And that's what we're about. People coming to know Jesus as personal Savior. We are to pray persistently and with confidence for Christ to make us more like Him. That's what He's talking about in these verses. For us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. And then lastly, look at the incentive, the outcome. When we pray in this way, when we ask God to be more Christ-like, when we ask Him, when we seek Him, say, Lord, help me in these areas that I struggle in. Help me, Lord, to live out biblically what it is it means to live and be a Christian. The outcome is Christ-likeness. Oh, we all desperately need that. Christ-likeness. And He says, whatever, look, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. He's saying the golden rule, the way that we live that out is we're more like Him. We're more like Christ. Because we've been seeking, we've been asking, we've been knocking. He says, whatever you want men to do to you, whatever, all things is comprehensive. It's nothing included. Want you to do to you. Well, you want them to do to you. You want somebody to treat you like Christ? Treat them like Christ. Quit getting caught up in the way somebody's not doing this or that or whatever. Whatever you're listening to and the lies that you listen to that keeps you from being the Christian that God's called you to be. Well, I heard this about so-and-so. Listen. Treat them like Christ. Accept them like Christ. Love them like Christ. Does that mean turn your back on sin? No, never. Love them enough to show them Christ in their sin. That's difficult. Well, they hurt my feelings. What about Christ's feelings when they spit on him, jerked his beard out, rammed the crown of thorns on his head, stripes on his back? What if he said, that hurt me too bad. I'm not going to die for his sin. In the midst of all that, he climbed Calvary's hill for you and me. That we could have 2016, we can overcome the struggles that we have in Him. Christ-likeness. And then look what he says. In everything, treat people this way. It sums up the entire look. For this is the law and the prophets. It sums up the entire teaching of the Bible. This is the law and the prophets. It's the Old Testament. He said, you want Scripture to become alive? This whole Old Testament, what was it saying? It was pointing towards being Christ-like. Even in the Old Testament, he said, it sums it up when we treat, you know, one of the guys, the young lawyers, come up and said, what's the greatest commandment? What did he say? Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. He sums it up. Is that not what the golden rule is saying? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, you don't know my neighbor. It didn't say that, does it? It says love your neighbor as yourself. It's reaching out. You know your neighbor, right? That's what you're laughing about. Yeah. You believe all kinds of stuff today. Listen. It's loving your neighbor. It's not an easy thing. He didn't say it'd be easy. Calvary wasn't easy either. But he's saying if we're going to be, look, we don't pull these out. Ask seek and not to be more like Christ. And He'll give it to you this morning. You want to grow in Him? If you're struggling with something this morning, if you've been struggling with it for years, ask, seek, and knock. He says, you'll find. You'll be answered. The door will be open. life's too short to keep on struggling. The person who consistently lives according to the golden rule is keeping all the standards of the Scripture. Man, listen to that. If you're living by that golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, you're living the whole standard of Scripture. You know what you're doing? You're living by the code. We live by a code as Christians, okay? We don't live like the world lives. This is our code. We live by the Bible and what the Bible says. And when we treat people and love people the way that Christ has called us to, it's living the code before men. It's living the Scripture. You've heard that old saying? Sometimes you're the only Bible that some people will read. They are tired of hearing Christians say one thing and live just like the world. They don't need that. Why do they need that? You know what? It's pretty sorry when I can go down to the bar and find more fellowship than I can in God's house. Pretty sorry when I find people that care more about you than you do at the bar than they do at the Lord's house. It should never be that way. It should be the place of love, not perfection. People mess up. We make mistakes. You know what? We go on in Jesus' name. We love. We don't turn our back. We don't turn a blind eye to sin. We don't do that. But in people's sin, we love them and we lure them back. We pull them back. Why? Because that such as I. That was me. We're all full of sin. His love, His grace, His mercy is now to flow through Christians. The Christ that the world sees is you and me now. The Christ that people are that's going to be seen in the world is you. You're His hands. You're His feet now. If you want the world to see Christ, they need to see it in you. The Christ-like ones. That's what Christian means. Christ-like ones. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ-like one? Because that's what it means. All that is right and generous. All that is right and generous is being lived out through God's children daily. The world needs to see that. What would our world look like if Christians lived out what they said they believed? The perfect love of the Heavenly Father is most reflected in His children through us. Treat others as we would want to be treated. No capacity within an unbeliever to do this, okay? You can't do it. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We can't live it out without Christ in us and flowing through us. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. How much do you love yourself? Take care of self pretty good, don't we? Make sure self's clean, fed, warm. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love this world. Not the way the world, plural, but the people that's in the world. It's not us against them, okay? Our enemy is not flesh and blood, but his powers and principalities. It's Satan. Satan's got, and he sold a lot of people a lot of bad bill of goods, haven't he? You got loved ones, you got family, you got co-workers that have bought into that. How are they going to be turned away from that? You living out Christ in front of them. You being Christ in a world. You shining the light. You being the salt. God's called us to be. We are called to be His greatest examples in a world that so desperately needs. How many people can say amen? The world desperately needs Christ. How many can say it this morning? Amen. How many do we? We don't have to go very far, do we, to see that the world desperately needs Christ. He's given you His gospel to carry out there into that world. How are they going to know if they don't hear is what the Word says. How are they going to know if they don't hear? How are they going to know that, hey, that's a good person, he's a good guy? How are they going to know he's a good guy? Because he lives by the standard. The only goodness in that guy is Christ. If we don't point them to Christ at everything that we do, how are they going to know? Well, we buy into that. Well, we'll just live it out. I'm not a very talkative person. Listen, you don't have to say much. Say, let me tell you that. This is Jesus. The only reason I'm doing this is Jesus. But that didn't take many words, did it? It didn't take many words. I'm not talking about being a mouth. I'm talking about just saying and pointing people to Christ. I know not everybody's a type A personality. I'm not saying that, but you communicate with somebody if you're living You're communicating some way. If it's, hey, I'm all right with social media. You want to be a social media missionary? Get on there and spread the gospel, okay? Not, oh, I heard this. Blah, 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 blah. I'm so tired of it, blah, 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 unloading the bucket, right? How about, let me tell you about Jesus, what Jesus did for me today. Let me tell you about a Savior. Man, how many friends do you have that you can reach with the gospel every day? Use whatever God's given you. I'm not saying what it looks like. God knows what it looks like in your life. Use that for His glory. The way we live out this great challenge this morning, how, Lord, are we ever going to live this out? Ask, seek, knock. That's where these scriptures are at. In going through the scriptures, in expository preaching, we get to see the whole Word of God. Do you realize that? How many times have you probably heard that preached and taken right out of the context of what it's talking about? It's talking about not living in, not being judgmental, but treating others as we'd have them treat us. You ask, you seek, and you knock on the door and ask God to be that which He's called you to be. That's the only way that we can do and live these things out. Well, Linda, come play. I want to ask you these questions as we're finishing up here this morning. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Let's just be honest. Let's get real. Let's get real right here. January 10th, we're in the double digits in 2016 this morning. How's your prayer life compared to 2015? Are you praying more? What does your prayers consist of? Is it about physical health, sickness, and all that? These are good things, but how many of ours are praying to be more Christ-like in 2016? How many of us are just content and happy with just the way that we are? Self-righteousness. How's your prayer life? How do you treat others? Come on. How do you treat others? I don't want to be around him. He'll give you a piece of his mind. How about giving him a piece of Christ instead of your mind? How about just treating people as Christ would treat? Does that mean there's not going to be times where you blow it? Yeah, but you know what? Do the next thing right. Quit stumbling over what you didn't do and start stepping on what you didn't do and step up. Not be knocked down. Quit listening to Satan telling you, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. And there's a lot of you sitting right here that says, you know what? I've been struggling for a long time to have this. God wants me to go forward, but you know what? I have such a stronghold in my life. I just can't get over this, whatever the hurdle is, and I want to be more Christ-like. Ask, seek, knock this morning. Have you grown in your walk with the Lord 2016? Have you grown? Or are you just the same old way you was in 2015? Let's stand on our feet. What's God's word said to you this morning? I'm going to ask you to do something real brave. You're with family, by the way, anyway, so it don't matter what anybody's thinking. It only matters what God thinks this morning. If He's spoken into your life, and you know it, you know when the Holy Spirit speaks into your life, that old heart beats. You feel it. You know when you've been touched by it. Respond to that this morning. Respond to that. Come forward. As soon as Gene starts singing, don't hesitate. Come forward. If you're lost and you know you're lost and you've been putting it off and you don't receive Christ, today is the day unto salvation. I'm telling you today that you cannot stand before the Lord and say, you know, I never heard it. Jesus Christ came to this earth and died for you on that Calvary's cross. He was planted in the ground on the third day, arose, died, buried, but arose. And on that if you receive His forgiveness for sin, you could be a child of God this morning. Don't put it off. If you don't know that you know, today's the day unto salvation. Don't put that off. What about you realize, you know what? I'm just happy with the way I am. I'm not going to grow. I don't need to grow. Ooh-wee. How many of us are saying that in our heart? As soon as we start singing, however God's spoken to you, you respond. surrender all this morning. Takes a lot of guts to say that. People are coming. How about you? I won't linger long. You're lost. Today's the day. What's God saying to you? We're finishing up. What is it Lord wants from you? 2016, double digits already. That's hard to believe. 10th day. Are you growing in Him? Are you worried about career, future, whatever? Are you worried about that more than you are your relationship with Him? What is it that's standing in your way, 2016, for being what God has called you to be? Ask, seek, knock. Door will be open to you. Whatever it is, give it to Him. Thank you, Lynn. Well, coming forward might have been difficult for you. If it was, and you have something that you need to talk to me about, be glad to talk to you about it. Don't leave here lost, I can tell you that. There's no guarantee you'll see tomorrow. You might not see this evening. Eternity waits in the balance for all of us. Those are decisions that we don't fool around with. What's God called you to be, 2016? Respond to His word. Gladness. Leave.